Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
Wow. Well, I'm very privileged today to be joined by Catherine B. Roy. And she's an internationally recognized business coach and personal growth coach. And she actually has a background in technology, which is good because this is a technology podcast. And and we're talking about powerful technology strategies to begin with. Welcome, Catherine. It's lovely to see you. I know you've got masses of experience within this space and also you're very well known. You've been around in the Forbes Coaches Council. You've got all sorts of credentials that I could spend 5 minutes actually reading, but I'm not going to kind of dig into that. But it's absolutely lovely to speak with you again.
Thanks so much for having me, Nate. It's really my pleasure.
So as far as these technology strategies, I mean, very recently, you know, we've seen the AI explosion that has been occurring. We're now deep into the video AI, where you can input your text and you can then create videos of all sorts of different styles. But some of these things, whilst they add value into marketing and everything else, they're not really part of a powerful technology strategy, are they? Because that needs to be driven by finance and the CEO and chief digital officers and these kind of people, without sort of picking up these kind of tactical little gimmicky items which marketing love to kind of play with. Would you think that's a fair place to start?
Well, Nate, when I was on a college a long time ago, we used to call artificial intelligence hybrid intelligence systems. So that's nothing new. It was 20, 25 years ago. The explosion of artificial intelligence is because it went mainstream. But we need to look at it as just a huge database of information which was collected for years and years and years and years. And yes, of course, it can be helpful in any area of business. But if we really want to grasp into automatization of our businesses, there has to be a system in place. Artificial intelligence can help us in decision making. It can help us in content creation. It can help us in marketing. It can help us in all of these different kinds of things. But still, human touch is very, very important. And I have to say, I was a programmer for 15 years. So I was Java web developer working in a huge international financial company. So every single aspect of the business was practically in my hands, trying to automate all these things. And of course, it's easier now to write a better code. It's easier now to produce a better video. It's easier now to maybe tap into decision making, but definitely that is not the whole picture. It's just a part of the picture, which we need to understand. To run our own business, we need at least three passive revenue streams. And for that, artificial intelligence is not going to help us. For that, we need to know every single aspect of our business and to set up a system using very serious tools, which can help us to grow, adding AI as a cherry on the top.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's a lot more to technology than just AI, right? AI is something that feeds into technology, but without having a correct strategy in place to automate, like you say, and make everything smoother, it's kind of just like a nice to have. And a lot of people I've heard have been asking for AI, and they approach a lot of consultants that I speak with every day, and they say, I want AI. You know, you get these CEOs saying, I want AI, and it's like, well, what are you actually doing at the moment? And mapping out the business to you know, how is that business functioning? I mean, we're talking medium large businesses really in this conversation. But you know, mapping out what that business already does, and then turning around and saying, well, okay, so you're already doing that. And each department is going to need to be mapped out, and there will already be a map for those processes, right? And then implementing time saving features, which can be plugged into AI, are very, very useful. I mean, we all know about chatbots, right? We all know about banks and the big corporations who are using these chatbots, and they're using automated email responders, which a lot of the time are very useful. But I think being able to switch that conversation over, just as one example, to have a human reply to your message at some point is most certainly very, very important. And, you know, and these things, the benchmark actually for a lot of the telcos, as one example, is actually very low. The quality of customer service is very low. And I personally believe that the businesses that are able to implement these powerful technology strategies to a way where the customer is actually very happy, they're the ones that are actually going to be winning over their competition. Do you think that's fair to say?
Well, I would have to say it's not about brand anymore. It's about brand experience, as you just mentioned. And customer service is one of the most important aspects of the brand experience, right? So if we talk about chatbots, of course, they can help, but absolutely not on a level when human-to-human connection is at place. I had an experience with one extremely large company whose technology I use, and the guy who was helping me out actually came on a call one-on-one with me to go through the code, which I actually saw in the inspect element and found the error on their side. So he took time to come and explore that with me. These things are impossible to do with AI. I believe that every serious company, medium or large company, already has processes in place, as you mentioned. And if they have processes in place, they most probably already have all the algorithms and the system mapping, which you mentioned, and most probably they already have a system, right? Because every single aspect of business nowadays needs to be in the digital form. So what you just described, it's a very familiar process to me. We need to analyze the processes as they are now. We need to analyze the technology which we are using now. And what are the aspects of these algorithms and workflows that we can fast forward, that we can save expenses, that we can actually, you know, help our employees to be better and to do a better job. So I don't see AI as something which is going to cut off jobs. I think it's going to help us. And it's not AI that is like threatening the human race. It's actually people who know how to use AI. So every kind of very powerful technology used in a good hands will give great results, and bad hands might give very bad results. So we need to be very aware of this. What I like to say is even ChatGPT in its like raw form, if we know how to train ChatGPT to really sound like us, to help us to make decisions, to help us mark the marketing plans or any kind of specific process in the company, is helpful enough, we don't need so many tools injected in our system. I would even say the less tools you use, but more effectively, it's better, because we need to be aware that every single information which is out there, which is crypted or non-crypted, never mind, it's out there. So all of these tools are actually accessing our information, and they can like use it in a different kinds of way. Anything deleted from the web platform, any kind of web platform, is never deleted. I remember, you know, in the huge corporations, we used to build databases so that there is a mark. If something is deleted, it has a mark one. If it's not deleted, it has a mark zero. So the user doesn't see it, but I still see that in the back end. Every single step, every single click, every single thing that the user did in the back end of the processes, we know that. So I would say AI is very, very generous and beautiful tool if we know how to use that. But we need to be very careful of the risks of injecting these different kinds of tools, because someone developed that. Someone is accessing the back end of that tool. And if the front end of that tool is accessing our data, you know, still procedures and the safety and security of using these kinds of technology is not on the top level. And on one side, yes, it's very important to use that. Yes, it's very important to keep a human touch, to have a better brand experience. But also we need to take care about the security of the system and everything else that usually it's not even in thoughts of people who just want to use AI to do things faster.
Absolutely. And it's very, right? Very risky. I mean, I've done a few expert talks on security. It's a topic that I am very passionate about. And that's why I've been sitting here patiently grinning away, because it's actually fundamental in any business to make sure that if you are using these AI models, you may want to build your own AI model that's actually, or use someone else's AI model with your constraints on your own cloud, in your own data center, or, you know, whatever. But basically I encourage you to go and find one of my talks. If you're interested in that, it's on info security, you know, and it's absolutely fundamental to have that approach with any technology strategy, whatever that may be. And it's in my opinion, you know, InfoSec first is absolutely crucial, because it's someone's data out there, right? And the business that you're working for, you're working in, can actually suffer millions and millions, even billions in fines, can't they, from you having a poor security practice, which means that there's a data leak of some valuable information. But I mean, these powerful technology strategies are all out there. All you need to do is the research, right? You know, it all depends on what kind of business you're in. At the end of the day, everything's all about the business that you're in, because, you know, for example, if you're in a manufacturing business, having very fast 5G or 6G connections could be part of your strategy to make things much, much faster and more streamlined. So everything really just depends on you. And like we say, you know, powerful technology strategies are all about the actual wireframe of what you're doing right now and how to make that better. And actually, some of these things that your departments may say, well, if we did this, it would be absolutely brilliant, that may not be necessary. It could just add a massive load of scope creep into whatever product that you are actually trying to improve with a strategy like this, right? Because that's the biggest failure I see is people actually doing these massive projects, and then each department says, oh, well, I think we could do with this extra feature, and then the extra feature that they implement costs a lot of time on the project, and ultimately it makes these projects fail. And this is something that is very, very bad. But in terms of powerful technology strategies, I mean, you're very good on LinkedIn. You know all about LinkedIn and how to leverage that. I don't want to talk too much about LinkedIn, but in terms of what they're doing, they have massive technology strategies that they're implementing now with Microsoft, right? So did you want to just give us a little bit of information on sort of what Microsoft are doing with LinkedIn and how they're leveraging powerful technology strategies there?
Well, honestly, I'm very impressed with how things are unfolding out there. I just wrote, like, 2 weeks ago, Forbes published one of my articles on this topic where I mentioned that Microsoft actually acquired LinkedIn in 2017, and it's a strategic partner of an OpenAI. So it's obviously there is a link and a connection between all of these things. And the prediction which I see for the future is integrating a lot more artificial intelligence in the space of LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is not a social media. It's one of the biggest search engines when we speak about business to business space. So what I've noticed is that they already integrated a little bit of AI in a communication when you are connecting with someone. They already integrated it when you want to write about section. I think these are just beta testing phases. And if we think about the power which LinkedIn has, because it has so much information about each and every one of us, none of the other social media have that powerful source of information combined with artificial intelligence databases. There are unlimited possibilities. There will probably be matches for better job solutions, matches for, new CEO boards and things like that based on our profiles and what, you know, LinkedIn Talent Solution is looking for. Because that option of LinkedIn's Talent Solution working with recruiters, what they are searching for will most probably be run by, but this is my prediction, run by AI, and then they will say, okay, this candidate is much better for you, and it's going to be a very, very, very powerful source for all of us. But what I see here when we talk about all of these technologies, including LinkedIn, is that it's a chance for all of us to grasp into our own freedom and to actually, you know, build something for ourselves or the companies we are working for, which will bring much more freedom and time effectiveness. So I see this from the light perspective completely. If we know how to use the latest technologies, artificial intelligence, and the resources like LinkedIn, I don't see there are any limitations. There is so much power in all of these things, but we need to learn a lot and we need to know how to use all of these, you know,
absolutely,
powerful sources.
And I mean, I've been thinking a lot about this potential partnership here with LinkedIn for, well, since they announced it, I've been talking with a lady called Monique Morrow. I've done some talks around AI and safety on the internet and things like this with her and ethics in AI. And we actually think that it's going to go a step further than what you're alluding to, which is basically it will say, oh, hi, Tom, we know that you're really good at this, but we see that in 3 years' time, that job's not going to be around anymore. But don't worry, we've got a course that we think you should study, and that course will mean you will be able to get this job based upon your personality insight, the personality insights we know about you, based on your education, the way you learn, et cetera, et cetera. And this personalized learning journey is going to be connected to education, clearly, but obviously it's going to be connected to the potential jobs which actually will be created in the next few years. And I'm kind of really excited about it. I think that if we embrace technology, we can actually reduce our workloads by 80% minimum, yeah, and actually have more fun in our lives and spend time doing things that we really want to do instead of attending loads and loads of meaningless Zoom meetings, which frankly, I don't quite understand how you can be productive if you're attending 8 to 10 Zoom meetings a day, which is what a lot of these corporations are encouraging their staff to do. This is all going to change, and I know it's going to change in the next few years. We will see a much better standard of living, much more enjoyable life to be had by everyone who actually decides they're going to go for it and learn new skills, in my opinion.
I definitely agree. I didn't know about that, but it sounds very, very possible. I was very careful about talking about the future, but yes, for sure. If we put all of these things together and you know, the data which LinkedIn has, the AI possibilities and the new technologies which are coming out every single day, absolutely yes. I would just like if people could see that instead of being afraid of actually grasp that and learning. Just learning new skills will actually help us to grow and to develop. But I saw a lot of, you know, people having like scarcity mindset or being afraid of actually using these technologies, losing their jobs and all of these things. And I would say just, you know, it's the future. It's the same thing which happened with the internet when it came around. We need to learn how to use that. And that's simple as that. You know, I can have a 15 years of programming experience, but not have a chance to implement any of that in these new technologies. But the way I'm thinking is what's different. It's more technological. It's more, and then I can implement that using any kind of tool. That's the whole deal. So if we learn the basics of how any system works, and any system is just a map of our own mind, people can't develop anything which is not in the scope of our minds. You know, the AI is just a collection of millions of brilliant minds out there. So it can go even further than you just mentioned about job seeking and finding the possibilities and having more time. It can help us heal. It can help us grow. It can help us be real humans, which we all desire to be. So I always like to grasp a little bit of humanness into this story because, you know, tech stuff are just tools which were developed by people who know things better than we do. So
absolutely, absolutely. So I'd like to just talk for 10 minutes on self-motivation and inner drivers. I mean, you have a very interesting story because your journey includes overcoming adversity, such as surviving the bombing in ex-Yugoslavia, battling life-threatening illness, dealing with infertility, and balancing work and motherhood. So, you know, you've got a massive story there. But so self-motivation and inner drivers, what do you think about that? Have you had, obviously you connect those two together, right? Like self-motivation has to have inner drivers, or you can't create motivation without knowing what your inner drivers are, or can you?
Well, sometimes I wish I didn't have a life like that. And if it was a little bit simpler, I would be much happier. But on the other side, I wouldn't be who I am if I didn't. So I'm very grateful for all of these experiences, which you just mentioned. When I left corporation and, you know, being a programmer, I was in a team. I was working on tasks. I was working with other people. And when I started my own business, I was on my own. So whatever I touched, whatever I did, it affected the results of my business. So I needed to stay not only self-motivated, but passionate about what I'm doing. And I would have to say everything lies in actually personal growth. I went through 18 personal growth programs, and I have a system of my own, which I developed for something like that. And I believe that 80% is actually personal growth and 20% are skills. So everything that we talked about, technology, comes into my 20%. I spend most of the day working on myself, on my inner being, practically. And it's impossible to go out there. It's impossible to be able to work, you know, in the companies like Microsoft, or to be on the TEDx stage, or to work with people who are in Forbes, and you come from a small European country which was hit by the civil war during the 90s. So it's kind of a completely different mindset. It's kind of a, you know, completely different thing. You need to work much more on yourself. You need to eliminate the limiting beliefs. You need to transform your mind first. Because, you know, I didn't know I had a high IQ before 2012 when Mensa did my tests. But then I realized that didn't help me in life. So no matter if my IQ was so high and I was so able to pivot and do all of these different things, there was something I needed to work on. And that definitely was emotional intelligence and my own self-belief system, which If we now make a parallel with the technology, it's the same. Like, if you don't know how to use AI, it's not going to work for you. If you don't know how to, like, you know, control or live with your emotional system, you're not going to be able to achieve any kind of success which you desire. It just doesn't go one with another. So self-motivation in my case goes through learning, because I believe that learning and knowing things, understanding things on higher level of consciousness, and I would have to say that this 3D life, I'm going to work 9 to 5, I'm going to receive a payment, and then I'm going to, I don't know, do that until retirement, it's not my cup of tea, definitely. So because of that, I need to learn how I can achieve all of that with a lot more freedom, without being the part of the system. And for that, I need to learn, and I need to learn from people who actually did that. So my self-motivation comes from knowledge, which I acquire every single day, and from higher level of consciousness and awareness through meditation and other actually spiritual processes, which I'm doing every single day.
Right. So when it comes to your inner drivers, I mean, obviously your kids have a lot to do with that, right? But you also want to pay it forward, don't you? I mean, like, you have a really generous kind of attitude to paying it forward. Is that connected with your self-motivation?
Yes, I always like to say I had a very hard childhood. I had a very hard teenage years. And after I finished college, a lot of good people came along my way and helped me when I needed help. So one of the core thoughts which I carry with myself is that if we're not here to help each other, then why we are here? For me, there is no competition. There is only collaboration. I'm running in my own lane. And practically, if I can help someone, I will. And I will be very generous. And the generosity comes from the fact that I am absolutely sure that everything that I give away to anyone is coming back from another source multiplied to me. So I'm not doing that to get something in return, but I'm very well aware of this law, which actually is a circular law, like a law of gravity. Like, you are going to kill yourself if you jump off the 12 levels building or whatever. This is the same. If you're generous towards people and you are the source to those who are in need. And what I want to say with that, every single one of us has more than someone else. And if I am free to give that away, I know that I'm going to receive that. And the sources from which I received changed my life. So I'm very open, I'm a very honest person. And when I started my journey back in 2015, I wrote a book. I didn't know how to publish it. I had no idea anything about Amazon or anything else in this part of the world. It just didn't exist. And the good people came along. They helped me. They showed me the way. I said it's impossible for me to pay $300,000 for a school of thought leadership and branding. It's just impossible, absolutely, for me. And they gave me a scholarship. So, you know, now I'm paying back not only to my community, but to everyone else that I can. Because I am absolutely sure this is just one cycle, and this is just an experience of my own being and spirit in this human form. Now we're going in a completely different direction, but it does have to do everything. Everything is connected. Like, you know, people who are on a higher level of consciousness, they're building these technologies. They are creating new ways, like Elon Musk is doing every single day, for example, like Nikola Tesla used to do that a long time ago. But if we understand that when we join our forces, we can achieve much more, then we would not fight each other. Like someone who experienced being in the underground shelter, I just have to say, like, what are you doing now in the world? What is happening now? For what? You're just destroying each other for some kind of material gain. And this is very clear to me. I don't want to be in that part of the world. I mean, in that kind of a mindset. I really want to help people. And I think that people feel that. And I think that my brand, which is based on three core values, which is love, kindness, and integrity, stands very strong. And this is why these huge opportunities are opening up for me. Not because I know technology, not because I'm master of economics and I have IQ, which is over 156, but because I'm a genuine human being who can speak to everyone, regardless of their functional position, the same way in this lifetime. So I think this is the difference between the Catherine B. Royce brand and a lot of brands who are delivering business coaching out there, and the reason of my exponential.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite those are quite clear inner drivers, really, from where I'm sort of sitting, you know, because you've obviously been to some dark places, right? And it's been a real struggle, and so you clearly want to help other people to kind of get over whatever struggles that they have, and it's a similar. I would call it more of a purpose than an inner driver. It's really a purpose, right? And you know, my purpose is a similar one, actually, to help people to get over the roadblocks in their lives to achieve success. So it's a very similar. I would say it's probably the same, in fact. Yeah, just different words, right? And that's why we were introduced and we've had a conversation. I was on one of your podcast shows and now you're being interviewed by me and we're having a conversation and it's all about those conversations, isn't it? And how we inspire others. And for me, like, that's part of my self-motivation, right? But for some people, their self-motivation might be, well, you know, they just want to help their aging relative to stay healthy for the next 10 years, or they may want to help a certain group of people to stay away from trouble, or there can be so many self-motivations and drivers. I mean, there may be religious ones, there may be community ones, there may be family ones, there may be business ones, because sometimes very powerful self drivers, inner drivers, can be connected with businesses' inner drivers, right? So if a business, for example, helps to deliver water to people who are thirsty, who are in you know, war-torn countries, food and water, that could be your inner driver. So those motivations are very powerful because it helps you. You have so much more energy to actually do things. And then people who are also driven in the way that you're driven, they actually want to connect with you. And then you find yourself talking with people who are driven, much like you are, to achieve success. And I find it very, very exciting, actually. It's an exciting time to be alive because we're so well connected with people. We can talk to pretty much anyone we want to. We can reach out to people who are very similar to us, or we can reach out to people who are a bit further down the line than we are in their lives and careers, and we can get advice. And it's absolutely fantastic time to be alive, in my opinion. And I'm hoping that that people listening to this get great benefit from it, and as I have from speaking with you, Catherine, as I always do. And I want to thank you, everybody, for listening, and thank you, Catherine, for spending the time with me today. So if anyone wants to get Catherine B. Roy, you can get her on all social media at Catherine B. Roy. She has CatherineBRoy.com. And if you want to learn more about her LinkedIn Decoded 2.0 course, you can get that on LHMACADEMIA.com. And I will drop some links wherever you look at this or listen to this. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Nate. It was really my pleasure. Thank you.
I've got problems with my software, if you hadn't noticed. Oh.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.